What's up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton, bringing you another episode of Locked On Warriors. Another good one. It's October 1st. Warriors played their first game Saturday night, first preseason game Saturday night. A lot of things to break down there. And October 1st is a deadline for a certain player on the Warriors. And we're going to get to that as well. All that coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. And basketball's back. And I'm a little annoyed that I just did that because everyone's saying basketball's back. I'm like, yeah, but it's preseason. But you know what? It's back, okay? I'm happy to have it back. I enjoyed the hell out of that Saturday night game. I've enjoyed watching a ton of the preseason basketball. The Lakers stuff was interesting. It is weird to see JaVale in a Lakers uni. LeBron, whatever, who cares? But JaVale in a Lakers uniform, that one's weird. But no, it's been awesome to have some semblance of NBA basketball back. And we're, what, 15 days away from the regular season starting? And the great part about NBA preseason is it's basically, like, at least for 3.5 or 2.5 quarters, we got regular NBA basketball. We got the starters. We got the normal rotations. It wasn't until about halfway through the third that Steve Kerr pulled the plug and put in, you know, all the backups and all the training camp invites and stuff like that. But it's awesome. It's been so good to see, and it was a good thing to see with the Warriors. They just came in and they were themselves. I mean, nothing changed. Nothing changed. We're going to get to the game in just a second, and then we're going to talk a little Pat McCaw as well. I know I'm getting tired of it, but it is a storyline, and there's a deadline today that could impact what happens with him. That's all coming up next on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. So they played their first preseason game Saturday night against the Minnesota Timberwolves, and it was great. It was great. The defense was a little sloppy, but again, it's preseason and it's the Warriors. I mean, if they're not going to really focus, if they're going to have lapses during the regular season, think about the lapses they'll have during preseason. But offensively, they did exactly what the Warriors do. Steph hit his first 4 threes. Klay was knocking down threes. He went 3 for 4. KD went 2 for 3 from three. Steph had 21 points in 20 minutes. Klay, 17. KD, 16. Draymond was, I mean, refreshed, I guess you could say. Looked like the friggin', I don't know, the hedgehog or Tasmanian devil or whatever, you know, cartoon reference you want to make. He was pushing the rock. He was not letting them slow down at all. Every time they had a turnover or, you know, Minnesota hit a shot and they're bringing it out, he was moving. He was getting this thing going, which I love to see. I love to see. But it was just, man, it was as if they never had a day off. And they just came in and played Warriors basketball. And they did what they do. By midway through the third quarter, they had something like a 15-point lead. And that's when Steve Kerr said, you know, I've seen enough. We'll put in all the you know, training camp invite guys and stuff like that. And there was some interesting stuff with some of them. Not all of them were great, but some of them came in and hit shots and played well. As you all know, the Warriors ended up losing this game, which, I mean, does not matter at all. But there are some things that do matter. And besides the starters who, look, they played their game. There's not much to talk about with them. They did what they do and what we expect them to do and are just a straight-up powerhouse and a juggernaut, and I love watching them and can't wait for the regular season to start. But Damian Jones did get the start with them, and you saw some of the positives, you saw some of the negatives. He has a nice touch around the rim. He's a good lob threat. They were kind of forcing it to him like they used to do with JaVale. And some of them he finished, some of them he didn't. He was getting hacked and put on the free throw line, which you're going to do with a guy who shoots, 50% from the line. So hopefully that's something that he can fix, or it's just something he's going to have to deal with the more minutes he gets. But he also had a couple of and ones that one of them they waved off, the other one they let go. He's intriguing, and I think we're going to continue to see him get these starts throughout the preseason and once the regular season starts, because there's a deadline on his fourth-year option. And the deadline is October 31st, I believe. So they should have, like 8 to 10 games, I think, within those 2 weeks from when the season starts and the deadline. And I'd imagine he'll get those starts because they want to see what they have with him. And I'm hopeful it works out, not just because I like him, but because of his talent level. If it does work out, it means they got themselves a good player. He's incredibly talented. He does have a nice little jumper, mid-range, all the way out to three, honestly. I don't know if they'll let him uncork it, but he's skilled. He had 2 assists on the night also. Solid rim protector. He's pretty jumpy because of his athleticism, which, he got caught on one by Karl Anthony Towns, but again, it's Karl Anthony Towns, and Karl Anthony Towns definitely got some buckets on him, but like I said, it's Karl Anthony Towns. He didn't destroy him. There was some good defense being played, but, sometimes we see it with Steph and Clay and KD. Perfect defense can be played. They're still going to hit their shots, and Karl Anthony Towns can do that too. So I was intrigued by Damian Jones. He definitely had some negatives as well. He is jumpy. He has gotten better with his aggressiveness and not just watching the ball so much and watching the play, but he still does have some of that. So there are things he needs to work on, but I liked it. I thought he was solid. I personally think they should pick up his option, but again, there's plenty of time to figure that out between now and then. He only played 12 minutes, 2 of 2 from the field, 4 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists. Nothing incredible, but solid. I'll put it that way, solid. And that 12 minutes, it's what JaVale used to get. I do think he will be taking the JaVale McGee role. So there's Damian Jones. And I think that's all I got for the starters. I mean, like I said, the other 4 all-stars, there's nothing new. They did what they do, man. Jordan Bell. Let's go with Jordan Bell because I am expecting a big year from Jordan Bell. He had a solid game. 10 points, 7 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 block. He is, I don't know, he's like a more athletic Draymond in a way. He can defend pretty much 5 positions. He's all over the place. Athletically, he's just on another level, maybe one of the best athletes in the NBA. He also showed that little 15-foot elbow jumper that we've seen before. But every time he knocks it down, that's a positive. And he knocked one down on Saturday. He played 16 minutes. I think he's good. You guys, I think Jordan Bell's pretty damn good. And I think you could also play him a little bit at the 4. Obviously, he's going to get plenty of time at the 5. But it was just another positive from this game. And I do expect a solid year from him. And I think he's going to deliver. I think he's going to deliver. He did have 4 turnovers, though, which is something that he will need to work on. He was a little out of control at times with some of his passes. But besides that, just a solid all-around game from him. No question. Kevon Looney was Kevon Looney. Nothing crazy, nothing terrible. Steve Kerr and the Warriors know what they're getting with Kevon Looney. And I think that's what they like about him so much, honestly, is that they know he won't make any huge mistakes, probably won't give you a 30-point game, but he's not going to do anything to really put you in a bad position. And that's exactly what he did Saturday night. Sean Livingston had a Sean Livingston game. He's S-dot, man. What can you say? Andre Iguodala was solid, had a monster alley-oop dunk, right hand, just vintage. I think, who was it? Anthony Slater, I think, tweeted out, like, is this, you know, June? Is this the finals or something? It was great. It was great to see. But again, I think this is first night stuff, and I'm sure there'll be about an 82-game lull for these guys, where I'm sure they'll win plenty of games while doing it, but I wouldn't expect to see Andre as energized throughout the regular season. Let's get to some of the rookies and back end of the roster guys. Jacob Evans, he was 0-3 from 3, which gets him to, what, 2-for-21 or 3-for-21 throughout Summer League and preseason. It hasn't been great. There have been some flashes, but until we see, and he didn't really get any time with the first team or any, like, real rotation players. And I think that matters because I think those guys will elevate his game a little bit. He'll get more open shots. He'll be able to work within the defensive scheme better with guys who know the scheme and know what they're doing. But so far, it's been, whatever. It's been fine, but not great. Would like to see more out of him, and hopefully we will. But again, he's a rookie, and he's got time to progress and get better. Quinn Cook was okay. He was also 0-for-3 from 3, 2-of-8 from the field. He did have some solid plays, though. And he's another guy who I expect a solid year out of. Him and Jordan Bell. Nothing huge or great from Quinn Cook. He was the guy on the fast break alley-oop to Andre who tossed it up for him. So he did make some plays. But scoring-wise wasn't great. Did have 5 assists, which for him is very good. He also had a block. How crazy is that? But Quinn Cook is another guy I expect big things out of. And I think that's all of the Jonas Jerebko. Rough first game, 0-for from the field, but he's active. You can see his activity, and you can see his size. He's a big dude. So it'll be interesting to see when the shots do start falling for him, what he brings to this team. So then back to some two-way contract guys and some, you know, G League Warriors most likely. Tyler Ulis, here's one thing I do like about what the Warriors are doing with their training camp roster. A lot of these guys are two-way contract, legit two-way contract options and will be good for Santa Cruz, like Tyler Ulis. Tyler Ulis most likely will be, unless another team picks him up, will be a Santa Cruz Warrior. And he was fine. Nothing great. Played 9 minutes, 1-for-2 from the field. But he's going to be good for the Santa Cruz Warriors. Daniel House Jr., a guy who I'm interested in seeing. He didn't get a ton of time. He only got 9 minutes and didn't do much. But he, similar to Jacob Evans, is a guy I would like to see with regular rotational players because I think he'd be better with them than, you know, come in and just jack up shots and try and prove that you can do something than when he would get an opportunity to be with rotation guys, just prove he can fit in the rotation. But anyways, he was but again, the opportunity wasn't great for him. Kendrick Nunn, a guy who was great during Summer League, same thing, nothing great. Marcus Derrickson is the one who stood out, and he's a guy who I've been high on since Summer League. He's 6'7", 250, kind of Draymond-esque, at least in his size and build. And he came in, put up 10 quick points, was 2-of-5 from 3, 4-of-10 from the field, so not incredible. He started out hot and then was missing shots towards the end. But he is a guy I like for the future, whether it's a two-way contract. And again, who knows what's happening with McCaw? That could be another roster spot that's open for someone like Derrickson or House or Nunn or Ulis or Damian Lee, who's on a two-way contract. They could elevate him. He did not play on Saturday. I'm not sure where he is. Maybe he's on his honeymoon. No, I doubt it. I doubt a guy on a two-way contract would be like, hey, I need a week off for my honeymoon. So I'm not sure. Maybe he had a slight injury or just didn't play. Who knows? But Marcus Derrickson, I was intrigued by him. He came in and played well, kind of was the engine behind the comeback even though they ended up losing, they were down, I think, almost 10 points, and Derrickson came in, gave him a spark. He's a guy I like for the future of the Warriors, for sure. So that's about it. Nothing wild, nothing crazy, just your standard first NBA preseason game. I guess the best part is that it wasn't anything wild, and the most normal thing that happened was that the starters came in and dominated for 2.5 quarters. It's a positive. It's a good thing. That's a good thing. It is too bad that Cousins is injured. It'd be fun to watch him in preseason to get our first look at him, but I think it's better for the team and for fan interest, honestly, that he won't be debuting until like halfway through the season. That's something for all of us to look forward to. So I mentioned Pat McCaw. He was not there. He's still not there. And there's a deadline at midnight tonight that kind of matters for him. We'll be talking about that coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. I am your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Pat McCaw is nowhere to be seen. I don't know where he is. Maybe he's in the Lou somewhere. St. Louis, not the Froom, but St. Louis. Because he's a St. lunatic, as we all know. October 1st at midnight is the deadline for him to sign his qualifying offer and come to the Warriors. Report to training camp. And he hasn't done it yet, and I don't think he will. Which, this just doesn't make sense. I just don't get it. I don't get it at all. I don't understand what leverage he thinks he has. Like, you regressed last year, dude. Like, I get it if he came out and balled last year and they were refusing to re-sign him to a new deal or something. I don't know. It just doesn't make sense to me. I don't know what leverage he thinks he has. I don't know what kind of advice he's getting. Maybe we'll see the other shoe drop eventually, where maybe the Warriors rescind his restricted free agency and he becomes an unrestricted free agent and he gets, you know, a 2-year, $10 million deal from someone. And then we'll know, oh, that's what he was doing. He knew that that deal was going to be out there for him. But until then, it just doesn't make sense to me. He's got an opportunity to have a rotation spot with the Warriors, and he's missed a week of training camp so far, and is pretty much, I don't want to say lost the spot, but he's losing ground every day. He can easily come back and reclaim it. Jacob Evans hasn't been great. No one's really taken it from him, but I don't know what's going on. And the thing is, once this qualifying offer expires, the Warriors, they don't have to pay him that 1.75 or whatever it is. They can pay him the minimum, which I think is like 1.5. So it's not a huge amount of money he'd lose, but it's good money that he'd lose. So we'll see what happens. But I honestly have no idea which way this is going to go. I would think eventually he'll be in camp. But if he doesn't want to be a Warrior and he wants to get released and has another deal out there, that's maybe what will happen. That could be his plan. But I don't know. I'd like to have him on the Warriors because I do think he's a solid player. But if not, oh well. That's about all I got for it. I mean, unless you guys have something, I don't have anything. He's not here. And eventually someone's going to step up and take that spot. And here's the other thing. And the Warriors haven't talked about it. There's no reason to think it besides just me thinking Nick Young's still a free agent. You know, if you can't have Pat McCaw, why not bring back Nick Young? I mean, I know it didn't work out to the same level that they wanted it to, but he was still useful at times. He was still able to knock down some threes and play in some big spots against the Rockets. So I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's happening, but might hit up Swaggy. See how he's doing. Is he in shape? Probably not, but we'll give it a shot. That's all I got for you for Locked On Warriors for today. We'll be back later this week. I think their next game is until Friday against the Kings, but they are in training camp. There will be news every day, so I will be back. Hopefully you will too. This has been Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. Peace.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.